This is going to be a major campaign issue, so maybe someone who has experience.
The pandemic reshuffles U.S. presidential politics. It's Friday, April 17, and this is VOA Asia from Washington. I'm Doug Bernard. Also ahead, Asia's economies hit a brick wall. And during a pandemic, it's robots to the rescue. That and much more coming up on VOA Asia. Economic growth in the Asia-Pacific region will likely slow to a standstill in 2020. That's something that hasn't happened in the last 60 years, according to the International Monetary Fund. Chang Yong-ri, director of the lender's Asia and Pacific Department, urged governments in the region to utilize all public policy options to support their economies during the coronavirus pandemic, including bilateral and multilateral swap arrangements. Rhee said that 17 countries in the region have expressed interest in the IMF's two emergency financing instruments, the Rapid Credit Facility and the Rapid Financing Instrument. Meanwhile, as China scrambles to fully reopen its economy, political leaders and health experts elsewhere are pushing the country to permanently close the so-called wet markets, such as the one in Wuhan, where the COVID-19 pandemic is believed to have originated. The World Health Organization supports reopening the wet markets that have stalls selling fresh fruits and vegetables, meat and fish. In some wet markets, live animals, poultry, and sea creatures are sold and butchered for buyers. In China, they're a common option for many people who may also shop for dry goods such as housewares and clothing in different sections of the market. Quote, but it is necessary to regulate wet markets and introduce measures to decrease the risk of transmission of diseases at them, unquote, the WHO told Australian media in a statement this week. It called for adequate facilities, proper regulation, and good hygiene practices. Some are pushing back against that stance. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison called the WHO's support for reopening China's wet markets unfathomable. Quote, we need to protect the world against potential sources of outbreaks of these types of viruses, unquote, he said in an interview with Nine News. Last week, a bipartisan group of U.S. senators, led by Republican Senator Lindsey Graham and Democratic Senator Chris Coons, asked China to immediately close all operating wet markets. For former Vice President Joe Biden, the 77-year-old presumptive Democratic Party nominee for president, selecting a running mate during the coronavirus pandemic has taken on even greater importance. Biden has promised to name a female vice presidential nominee to run with him against President Donald Trump in the November presidential election, leading to speculation that he might pick a woman senator. But as VOA's Brian Padden reports, experience such as a governor may possess in handling a public health and economic crisis may now matter more than political appeal.
Former President Barack Obama praised his former Vice President Joe Biden's experience and empathy Tuesday when he endorsed the presumptive Democratic Party presidential nominee.
Choosing Joe to be my vice president was one of the best decisions I ever made, and he became a close friend.
With the deadly coronavirus outbreak causing a widespread economic shutdown in the U.S., Biden may have to pick as his running mate an experienced leader handling a crisis, say some analysts.
He really has to think about policy going forward. This is going to be a major campaign issue. So maybe someone who has experience dealing with crises, either at the national or state level.
At 77 years old, Biden has said his age also underscores the need for a vice presidential candidate capable of immediately taking over, and he has pledged to name a woman as his running mate.
No country can succeed economically in the 21st century by continuing to keep the women behind. It's half the brain power, half the capacity.
Top contenders reportedly include former Democratic nomination rivals, California Senator Kamala Harris, Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar, and Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. However, Warren's advocacy for free health care and free college tuition clash with Biden's centrist views. And Harris, being a woman of color, could help Biden with a key voting bloc, African-American voters. Some in the African-American community are also strongly advocating that former Georgia State legislator Stacey Abrams, who lost a close race for governor in 2018, may have less experience but can help increase voter turnout.
Stacey's strengths offset and balance out Biden's weaknesses. Her ability to inspire and galvanize the particular constituencies where he is weakest, and her unparalleled, frankly, track record of increasing African-American voter turnout.
Also at the state level, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer has raised her profile in recent days fighting the coronavirus threat in a key Midwestern state Democrats need to win. Another possibility is New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, who could help Biden with the Latino community. Biden's decision will likely come down to picking a vice presidential running mate who will be seen as ready to govern, but who will also excite the Democratic Party's base. Brian Padden, VOA News, Washington.
These are some of the top Asia headlines that you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. China denies U.S. allegations that it's testing nuclear weapons. South Korean ruling party wins vote held amid virus fears. Kim Jong-un skips a major celebration of his grandfather. And nearly 400 Rohingya rescued from a boat drifting off the Bangladesh coast. You can learn more about these stories and many others by visiting us on Facebook, on Instagram, and at voanews.com. A Pakistani court in early April acquitted journalist Nasrullah Chaudhry, who was sentenced to 5 years in prison for allegedly possessing banned literature and expressing religious hatred. Pakistani journalists considered it a trumped-up charge to silence reporters and squash press freedom. VOA's Mohammed Saqib reports from Karachi.
Pakistan's Sindh High Court last week overturned the conviction of Nasrullah Chaudhry, a local journalist who worked for Urdu Daily newspaper, Naibat. Chaudhry originally was sentenced to 5 years in prison over what authorities said was the possession of banned literature and the spread of religious hatred. His counsel said prosecutors failed to prove the allegations against him.
So the doubts were already there on prosecution's story. And finally, the court declared that the allegations against him were not proven.
Chaudhry was taken into custody by Karachi police in November 2019. Pakistani authorities accused him of carrying journals and booklets about banned groups, such as Afghan Jihad and the Punjabi Taliban. Chaudhry refuted these accusations.
I still can't comprehend the reasons behind my arrest. My work, my published articles are all in the open, and many of my journalist colleagues know me personally.
Chaudhry's arrest has been strongly criticized by journalists in Pakistan who say they're concerned the government is falsely using cybercrime and anti-terror laws to intimidate them.
Even now, they are being targeted by anti-terror and cybercrime laws. And dozens of journalists have been booked so far under these laws.
Pakistan's journalism community, says press freedom has been increasingly censored since the martial law by President Muhammad Zia-ul-Haq in the late 1970s. However, the government says it's committed to ensure freedom of speech in the country. For Mohammed Saqib in Karachi, this is Naila Mohammed, VOA News.
You're listening to VOA Asia, coming to you from Washington. The coronavirus shutdowns haven't just kept adults from their jobs, but also many kids from schools. And that's led to an explosion of online teaching. Saki Islam has more.
Katrina Shapke does not mind her new routine as she starts taking her mathematics classes online for the first time.
Personally, I enjoy not needing to leave the comforts of my home. And also, I enjoy having less work than usual.
But for Katrina's younger sister, third grader Eva, online learning is not ideal.
And welcome to grade 3, module 5, lesson 2.
I guess I'm getting a lot of cabin fever. I miss meeting my teacher, my friends. I also miss going to school.
Katrina, Eva, snack time.
Their mother, Alina, who is a Maryland teacher, says the transition was not difficult, but the challenges are more technical.
Sometimes they have to be set up at the same time as I am teaching my online lessons. So that presents a difficulty. I have to stop my class and take a break in order to set up both kids for online sessions.
In the eastern U.S. state of Maryland, it took many school systems at least a few weeks to create an online platform for students and teachers to continue the educational process.
There's a huge learning curve for all of our teachers, as well as our students, to become accustomed to this technology and to try to replicate the good instruction that we had when we were in the schools. But now we have to do this from our homes.
Look how cute the turtle is.
While Katrina and Eva are getting used to online learning, they have a message for all the students confined to their homes.
Just stay indoors. It's not that hard. I'm pretty sure at least half of you already wish you could do that, so wish granted.
We should keep on learning online and keep on washing our hands and find somehow to stay entertained. Checkmate.
Teacher Ryan Meng says Maryland school systems are not only providing meals for their students, but also making sure they have access to laptops and Wi-Fi hotspots so that they can keep their education on track during the shutdown. Saqib al-Islam, VOA News, Maryland.
This Asia News update, officials in Pakistan's largest city of Karachi have reported an unusual rise in the number of bodies being brought to hospitals and of patients dying due to severe medical ailments, suspecting the COVID-19 pandemic could be causing the fatalities. Much more on this story and many others at our website, voanews.com. When COVID-19 hit Washington, D.C., and health officials there said people had to stay 2 meters apart, Broad Branch market owner Tracy Stannard knew it meant an end to business as usual. Customers had been packing the store to stock up. Quote, "We realized that it was getting a little too risky to have so many people in the market," she said. "We wanted to keep people outside." But she also wanted to keep selling groceries. What to do? Stannard turned to Starship Technologies delivery robots. Steve Barragona has this report.
Starship Technologies delivery robots attract the paparazzi everywhere they go.
Smile, girls.
These local celebrities are delivering for Broad Branch Market in Washington, D.C.
Oh my gosh, look.
Tracy Stannard is the owner.
This is what they do. They just send me this. Like, I don't have enough video of the robots. But everybody loves them. Look how cute they are.
The market does not normally deliver, but in March, the city issued orders for social distancing to tamp down the spread of the coronavirus.
It was getting a little too risky to have so many people in the market because we would get super busy. We wanted to keep people outside, and then the bots seemed like a great option.
The robots can carry about 9 kilograms and deliver to about a 5-kilometer radius. Customer Rob Oaken says it's good for what would normally be a quick trip to the market.
I love the fact that it'll come right to my house and that I don't even have to go into the store. It was actually super easy, and it makes it a lot safer to keep social distancing.
Other companies, including KiwiBot, Postmates, and, of course, Amazon, are also doing robot deliveries. But the industry has struggled to make money. Robotics companies in general are having a hard time, according to the trade group Silicon Valley Robotics Managing Director, Andra Kay.
I'm seeing robotics companies shut down, even in the last month, but particularly in the last year because they were too early for the market.
Where robots are really stepping up is doing dirty and dangerous jobs, according to the Association for Advancing Automation, a trade group. Jeff Bernstein is president.
Disinfectant robots, for instance. If you right now are in a hospital or an office or a warehouse, you probably would like to have a robot do the disinfecting so that people don't have to go in there and do that. Makes it safe before the people come into work.
Robots are zapping germs in a Belgian hospital and spraying disinfectant in the Hong Kong subway. They're delivering food and medicine in hospitals in India and Thailand so that health workers can keep their distance. And maybe those are the best places for robots right now. Managing deliveries in the outside world is hard and full of pitfalls. Sidewalks are tricky, but people are trickier.
It says right on it, open here. Okay, now how to do that.
Uh-oh. It'll be easier for the next generation. Theirs and ours.
Moving! Follow that robot!
Steve Barragona, VOA News, Washington.
Hello, I'm
A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Wash your hands with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. Scrub thoroughly for 20 seconds. If you cannot wash your hands, use a hand sanitizer. Taking these steps can prevent not only coronavirus, but also colds and flu and other viruses. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
Hand sanitizers are one of the products Americans have been stockpiling during the coronavirus outbreak. That's left many store shelves empty of the product. Well, that shortage is prompting companies like a small distillery in Falls Church, Virginia, to find creative ways to help. We have more in this report from Oshlam Tinash.
Hand sanitizer is one of the things Americans have been stockpiling most since the coronavirus outbreak, and that's left many store shelves of the product empty.
Okay, we ready?
To meet the demand, some entrepreneurs are making high alcohol content disinfectants. Right. Falls Church Distillery is one of those businesses. Known for its whiskey production, FC Distillery is busy making hand sanitizers.
We've pivoted into making sanitization. It's the same type of process. We're using the same whiskeys, or base spirits that we would use to make a lot of our other products.
But production depends on access to raw materials.
Right there back here, we're producing about 300 gallons of sanitizer right now. We could easily do that every day if we could get the supplies. We can only get supplies every couple of 3 days because there's not as many truckers on the road.
Employees say they are happy to shift their business model because it helps the local community and keeps them employed.
I mean, it's nice to be able to do something that is helping people. Obviously, it's really hard to find. I went on Amazon just to look at what was available on Amazon, and it looks like people are ripping everyone off. So it's nice to just kind of help the local community and still have a job, actually. I feel really lucky right now.
So we're just going to mix all these in.
Locals say they appreciate the effort.
Well, I know he'd probably like to be doing, making something other than hand sanitizer, but no, this is a great idea. To fill a void in the marketplace and to have small businesses set up and work together to get this done. It's what needs to be done, and it's fantastic.
Palooza says it is essential to boost people's morale and not to take advantage of their fears by gouging prices.
Prices right now is important to us. I mean, that was a very, very important thing to us, to not gouge, right? I mean, because that's what you're seeing now. You're seeing people buy up, whether it's toilet paper or hand sanitizer, and then trying to charge exorbitant prices for that. That's part of what we were battling here, plus the need and plus the reasonableness of fulfilling that need.
Stavros says this new approach might last longer than expected.
This will keep us busy for a little while, I'm sure. As long as there's a need for the hand sanitizer, more than likely over the next few months, the way it's looking like, we'll be here.
Well, I think all of us are trying to do what we can. I think seeing small businesses step up and provide this type of service is fantastic.
FC Distillery is currently selling its sanitizers for $29 a gallon, which, according to Paluzzi, is nearly half of the market price. The company also promises to set aside 5,000 ounces in 5-ounce bottles to give away for free. Özlem Tinas, VOA News, Falls Church, Virginia.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This is Business Scene. I'm Ira Melman. Daisuke Suzuki lost all hope when he saw the 15-meter wave engulf his family brewery, and then again when he had to flee his hometown of Nami several days later, as a 20-kilometer radius no-go zone was enforced around the nearby Fukushima Daiichi nuclear reactors following its catastrophic meltdown. 9 years after that disaster, Suzuki is now making preparations to rebuild his business near his once-raised neighborhood and in the shadows of the still-crippled nuclear facilities. Called Shubo in Japanese, or Mother of Sake, Daisuke Suzuki's culture was specific to his brewery and developed over the centuries since Suzuki Breweries was founded in the mid-19th century.
Eventually, I'd like for people to come for themselves and get a feel for the things that are unique and famous in this area, the food, the people, and I want them to see the production process as well and understand the feelings of the people involved.
Daisuke Suzuki says he is aware that he can't just return to recreate the past, but hopes his homecoming next year will also invigorate local businesses and convince new businesses to take root as well. Nearly 1,200, or only 5% of the original 21,000 residents, have returned to Nami since the exclusion zone was lifted 3 years ago.
You guys get the
strobe lights flash across a near-empty dance floor as a DJ live streams thumping electronic music from a Singapore nightclub to revelers confined to their homes due to the coronavirus pandemic. The outbreak sweeping the globe has shuttered once lively night spots from London to New York, but innovative DJs have started putting their performances online so clubbers don't miss out. The trend is another example of how the virus, which has left some 3.6 billion people stuck at home under lockdowns, is upending daily life in ways unthinkable until recently, as governments imposed social distancing curbs to stem its spread. After Singapore ordered the closure of many entertainment venues, popular nightclub Zouk threw a cloud clubbing party, streaming live performances by six DJs via an app.
I feel that they are more than and they are more honest, and here, right, there is more like social, like if you are live, there's more like social cues, kind of like the way you present yourself. So I think it's like different compared to like if you're at home just using a keyboard.
The nightclub partnered with gaming equipment company Razer and the live streaming app Bigo Live, attracting 200,000 total views for the three-hour event. At its peak, 5,600 people were watching via the app. For Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman.
That's VOA Asia for today and for this week. We appreciate your spending a little time with us. We'll be back with you again on Monday. We hope you'll join us then. And until then, take care of yourselves and be well.